Joining us now and from the stand, two pilots who have the distinction of having flown some very historic aircraft in a very historic event. Steve Rose with the C-47 D-Daydal and Eric Combrek with C-47 Miss Montana. And gentlemen, you were part of the D-Day squadron that helped commemorate the 75th anniversary of the Normandy invasion just a little over a month ago. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Welcome to Oshkosh as well.
Glad to be here.
Have either of you been here before?
Once.
Once?
So yeah, we were here last year for 3 days to meet up with Eric Zipkin of the D-Day squadron to start the planning this mission, so that was the first for me.
Well, and that's where we're going back to. What the very start of this drive to get C-47s and DC-3s across the ocean and back for the 75th anniversary of D-Day, as you said, it started a year ago. What was the idea behind the whole process?
Well, you know, it's actually started in Europe. Some guys said, "Hey, wouldn't it be great?" Okay. To do this, but they started, the idea came up on the 70th anniversary. They said, wouldn't it be great, the 75th, because, you know, all the veterans are 97 years old, right. 90 years old, they're, you know, dying by the thousands, and wouldn't it be great to have one mass celebration at the end? So they started 5 years ago, they broached the subject with our group about 3 years ago, and we're going like, yeah, right, sure, no chance. Yeah. But then people got more and more serious, and they really wanted us to come. So, okay, let's look into this. And, you know, the biggest thing, obviously, with them, too, is raising money to get over there. You know, fuel costs, over there, $11 a gallon.
Wow.
In our Sarsarac, Greenland, we actually had a pre-positioned fuel. So all that logistics planning and then parts. You know, what do you need to take with you? What can you leave behind? And, you know, if you get stranded somewhere. So, I mean, it was a huge effort. And then, you know, fundraising, you know. As our friend John Goldenbaum from Flaybob Express says, you know, not one major corporation in the United States supported us.
Right.
It was all small donations and people and little companies.
It was all a grassroots effort
to
make this happen.
Yep.
You're from the Riverside, California area with the Commemorative Air Force. And Eric, where's Miss Montana
based? So our airplanes were kind of a little different story. We're coming at this with about 3 years behind schedule.
Okay.
So our airplane's owned by the Museum of Mountain Flying in Missoula, Montana.
Okay.
And she's been sitting there as a static display for 18 years. So the first inception of this came 12 months ago. So the good news is we had a year to do this. The bad news is we only had a year to do this. So we had to put it in high gear to be able to pull something of this magnitude off.
Sure.
And that's the real story behind our airplane and our group is how we came together in a short period of time with hundreds of volunteers in order to join the A-listers and airplanes that have been pilots and crews and jumpers and everything. We had to not only put the money together, but we had to find pilots and mechanics. And so we were just honored to be able to join in with these guys and let us tag along. And here we are a year later in Oshkosh with the airplane. So we're tickled.
So before this all came to be, if you thought about flying from Riverside to, say, Oshkosh or Missoula to Oshkosh, that's kind of a long flight that would you'd have to think twice about the logistics and the money involved in getting here. But so the initial reaction to flying to Europe, that had to be sort of, well, I'm not so sure about that.
Well, our guys were saying, oh, yeah, we're going to get to Europe, and then we got invited to the Paris Air Show at the end. We're going to do all that stuff. My idea is the PIC is I got to do it from day to day and, and flight to flight. I can't worry about I got to get there first.
Right.
You're making all these wonderful plans, and you have to have that, but my goal is to get to the next stop.
Good.
So, and it's funny, just put into perspective, the flight time we put on the airplane so far is almost 3 years worth of normal flying for us. And that's quite an accomplishment.
Sure. So what is that flight time that we're looking at?
Well, 114 hours so far.
Wow. So far. Mm-hmm. So, and that includes all of the training crew qualifications, jumpers, and the flights there and back?
Yeah.
Wow.
And, we're one of the only, there's like six of us, I guess, or jump, what they call anchor airplanes for the jumpers. So we were busier than most, at least in the Normandy section and stuff. So, it was just incredible. And then, the thing is these airplanes seem to fly better the longer,
Of course.
5 hours instead of a, 20-minute hop stop and go, all that kind of stuff. It seems like everything tightened up, oil leaks kind of dried up and stuff, and they just hummed. I mean, our airplane just turned 76 years old. in July.
Right.
The 1st of July, or 2nd, 6th, I guess. And, you know, it made it all the way there and all the way back. So I have a lot more appreciation for it, too.
Sure. And, of course, for the original builders and designers of the aircraft, that flying 70, well, it's more than 70 years later.
Yeah, right.
That's amazing. How many airplanes ultimately made the trip?
Well, from this...
From the States.
15 airplanes. 15. It was funny because, you know, we're all on this WhatsApp program.
Right.
That's how we communicate with each other. And these guys were going like, oh, is Miss Montana going to make it? Are they going to make it? Instead, because they were, like I said, at least a week behind, right?
Yeah.
And then they got stuck. You got stuck in some place for fog or something. But anyway, so 15 of us made it all the way there. 15 made it all the way back, which is an incredible story, really.
So when the initial assembly came together of the 14 aircraft that left, at once. Where did you assemble? It was someone on the East Coast. Right?
Oxford, Connecticut.
Okay.
With that's where Eric Zipkin is based,
right.
And he flies Placid Lassie. He kind of, as he says, he was the first one. You know, everybody else stepped back, and he forgot. So he got designated as the head guy. But he put together a great program for us. We got there, and you know, we got to fly formation together, learn each other, and I mean, really got to respect all the other crews and stuff. And plus, it was fun.
Well, and part of that, getting to know each other and everything, was the flight around the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, yeah, that was incredible.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, we had 13 airplanes, if I remember. Yeah, 13 airplanes. And, you know, it's kind of a gaggle, you know,
right.
And you fly VIC formation, so three airplanes and three airplanes.
Right.
And some guys weren't formation qualified yet, so they kind of were just in the back trailing
right.
and stuff. And we flew to... to the Hudson River and then down, and we had T-6s with us, and we had, you know, the thing is, we thought they'd kind of clear the airspace for us. They said, no, it's a beautiful day, you know, there's going to be lots of people out there. So we had people everywhere, and they're all taking pictures of this formation because they had heard that we're doing this.
Right.
And we came down the Statue of Liberty, and they put us at 1,500 feet. We said, no, we want to be 1,000 feet. So as we got closer, they said, okay, you guys can go down to 1,000. And Eric was lead, and... I was on his right wing, or I guess, and Bitsy's biscuit bomber, I think, was on the left. Anyway, and, you know, when you're flying formation, I'm missing most of all
right.
the fun stuff.
Yes.
But I got pictures of everything, and, you know, there's diagrams. And, you know, it just, you know, it's great for us. But there's a video on New York Times had a video grapher somewhere on the airplanes, and it's all us.
Yeah.
The D-Day doll and, the smoke trailing out behind us and the Statue of Liberty. So that was... pretty cool for us.
Excellent. And Eric, you got to do that flight as well.
Yeah.
So just in a different
yeah,
scenario.
We got to do it on our own a week later with Richard Schlesinger of CBS as he was filming a morning talk show or morning show for us. So that was a huge honor. And one of the best things, I think, for us is another one of our pilots, Nico von Peroni. He's born and raised in Germany. And it just so happened to fall on his 14th year of being a U.S. citizen.
Wow.
That he was able to be the captain of Miss Montana, do the circles around Statue of Liberty, and so I think for all of us as a crew, that really, was important and sank home to us. You know what what an honor. So,
well, and that was the honor stateside. Now you end up in England, mm-hmm. and eventually doing the flyovers in Normandy. Describe mm-hmm. what that was like.
Well, unfortunately, our main drop. Turned out to be kind of a gaggle
right.
because we went to the wrong drop zone and all sorts of things, but it turned out to be probably almost as accurate as the real thing.
I was going to say, it's very reminiscent of 75 years earlier.
So, but, you know, the thing is, it's when you're flying formation, you're concentrating so much on the guy ahead of you, and when the paratroopers go out, you have to be a little bit higher, and your guys are going out, and you can actually feel each guy go out the door because they interrupt the air over the tail. So I can actually almost count how many guys are going out. And then afterwards, it kind of hits you afterwards. Like when you finally land, it's like, gosh, I can't believe we did that. How many people get a chance to do this?
Right.
I mean, it was incredible.
How many flights were you able to make over Normandy? Just the one?
Well, we do multiple trips. But we got slowed down. There was a rain day. The beauty is we did the 5th
right.
Because the 6th was, VIPs and stuff.
Yes.
But we weren't supposed to fly, but we ended up doing the American Cemetery flyover.
Okay.
13 of us, DC-3s, which was really fun. And then the next day was a rain day, and then it was a little bit windy the next day. So, but the 9th was the last big lift and stuff. So, flew from Cannes down to Cherbourg, dropped you know, different drop zones and stuff. So, I mean, it's incredible to see those guys get on board and then, you know, and it's just like World War II, all the movies you see.
Sure.
You know, stand up, hook up, check your equipment, just like, and they do the same stuff.
And these are round, folks know, these are round chutes. These are not the parachutists that you see today at air shows and things with the square canopies where they can steer. Yep. It's basically once you're out the door, you're out the door.
Right. Yep. And we're, you know, we're at 800 to 1,000 feet.
Yeah.
Which is really incredible.
Right. So if we're, just for perspective, for the air show today, they'll probably jump from 6,000 feet.
well, yeah, a parachute, but, you know, in a normal air show, we got, between 1,200 feet and 1,500 feet, just because it's a little bit more safety factor for the air show.
For the jumpers. Mm-hmm. And also then after the Normandy was done, you got to go to the Paris Air Show.
Well, but before that, we did Germany, too, because we were celebrating the 70th anniversary of the Berlin Airlift.
Okay.
And you can't believe the reception we got in Germany. I mean, they were just thrilled, and they remember the airplanes.
50 to 60,000 people at the air shows turned out, you know, everywhere we went there and thanked us. And, you know, they still remember what we did there for them, too. So that was a major part of this trip.
And then Gail Halverson was there.
Oh, yes.
The original candy bomber. Yep. So we got to meet him, and just incredible. I mean, it was just great. And, you know, and flying with people like these guys, you know, we really got into the, you know, it's just a great organization and stuff.
Right.
Give credit to Eric Zipkin for putting this all together.
So before we wrap up, some last what lasting impressions that you take away from this experience?
Well, for me, you know, we had one day of rain, so I took that opportunity to go tour because we saw everything from the air, nothing from the ground. And we got to finally go to St. Mary Glees. Right. And the impression of it, almost every house had an American flag hanging from it. Yep. So it's just that reception made it all worthwhile.
How much for you, Eric?
Well, I think it's just... For me, it's dreams can come possible for all of us, you know. Who would have thought a year ago we'd been able to pull this off, get all of these airplanes, all of these crew over not only once but two Atlantic crossings. Everybody gets there safe. Everybody comes home safe. And it's just been a great ride for us. We've been, every one of these airplanes has been busy flying and promoting aviation and getting young, men and women inspired in becoming pilots and sharing this piece of history that I think a lot of people probably forgot. So that's what I think our goal was, is to remind everybody what these people really did for us and think of the logistics and how brave they had to be, and they were getting shot at, you know. So,
well, gentlemen, I appreciate you taking some time to share the stories of the D-Day squadron, and both aircraft will be here all week long.
Yes.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
where
D-Day Adele is in the vintage area.
Yep, right there.
Yeah, we're right in front of the vintage there.
We're both right next to each other.
Come see us. We'd love to show you the airplanes.
Yeah. All right. Steve, Eric, thank you very much for joining us this morning. This is From the Stand on EIA Radio.